Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, everybody. So here we are with Don't Interrupt Me, Por Favor.
Don't Interrupt Me, Por Favor, Radio Kingston. ¿Cómo es?
KNY.
107.9
FM, 1490 AM, at Interrupt Show on Twitter. And I realized we need to start to ask people to go onto Apple Podcasts and rate us and rank us and say mean things or nice things. But we need people to
mostly
start,
nice things.
Yeah, to
please.
start to say this is a show.
And mostly that, people. I mean, yeah. Martians are welcome too. But I mean, mostly people and mostly nice things.
Yeah. We're here with Lisa Button. Botón.
Botón, ¿no? Señora Botón.
Bueno, sí.
Guillermo Fletcher. Martín.
Guillermo Fletcher.
Guillermo Ufreiser. El apellido correcto es Guillermo Ufreiser.
Nick Libor.
Yeah.
Interbank.
We're really confusing everyone.
Doesn't matter. We're
so,
here.
So, okay, what's the buzz today? That was a big hit. That was a good hit.
Oh, my God, you were rehearsing last night so much.
Well, aquí estamos hoy con Carolina Zúñiga Aiza, and she's the co-founder of Island Bee Project. Oh,
wow.
Island Bee Project. For me, that just brings so many visuals.
It's a paradise.
Yeah, so where is the paradise? And
paradise
what are you
is
doing?
Located on Governor's Island. And
in New York City?
In New York City. Everybody has probably visited it when they were a kid, but now there's like this huge program in place for education and for sustainability and zero waste. It's a beautiful place to go and learn and play, and this year is going to be fabulous.
¿Dónde está Governor's Island?
Está
en la bahía.
En la bahía. South of Manhattan Island. So right next door is the Staten Island Ferry, que va otra isla.
Okay.
De Staten. Y aquí puede tomar un bote a la isla de gobierno.
Okay.
Y en unos 5 minutos llega y está en paraíso.
Lleno de abejas.
Lleno de abejas. De todo.
¿De ovejas?
Abejas.
Ah.
Abejas.
Abejas. No hay abejas.
No.
Well, not yet.
Not yet. Who knows?
¿Por qué hay tantas
hay
abejas?
Hay dos cabritas.
Ah, sí. ¿Ves?
Sí. Okay. Con Earth Matter. We have a beautiful urban farm. Programas de la tierra, Earth Matter Compost Learning Center. That's where we got our start. Mm-hmm. We were keeping bees with them. And then there's Grow NYC. There's plenty of other programs that are going to be unveiled. And we are part of the program on our own separate area with the Honeybee Conservancy. We're super excited to collaborate with them.
So wait. So
at the urban farm.
Bees are endangered species? What are we talking about here?
There are many species of bees, and there are definitely over 20,000 species of bees around the world.
Who counted?
Global. Pero la que tiene la más atención es sobre las abejas de la miel, mm-hmm. the honeybees, mm-hmm. que vienen origen de Europa. Y con ellos son lo que polinizan más, mm-hmm. Un tercio de la comida que comemos hoy, fruta, vegetales, y están muriendo porque hay monoculturas de...
No mueren de melancolía porque echan de menos Europa, ¿no? No es,
¿cómo?
No mueren de melancolía porque echan de menos Europa, ¿no?
No.
Bueno, eso no se sabe.
Pero nunca sabe. Eso, you have to interview a bee for that.
Okay.
We'll bring a bee in.
Touché.
So what's the story? For the next show, what's the story? What's happening?
So what's happening, and I think people are still becoming aware of the plight of the honeybee, basically. The bee that pollinates a third of our food, a third of our the food that we eat, they are dying off because of pesticides use, and also because of massive farms, monocultures that we have, let's say in the United States and globally as well, they are taking up a lot of habitat space. And the other thing is the varroa mite, which is un ácaro. It's a little flea or a bed bug, almost. It's like a blood sucking, you know, weakens the
really
bee.
Really bad guy.
Really bad guy because it just brings a lot of diseases onto the honeybee hives that holds a huge population up to 80,000 bees at the height of summer, every hive by itself. So these are factors, stress factors, basically, and they are not, they become weaker and then they just die. And it's not sustainable that we just keep, you know, trying to replace these bees as well. We want to foster native bees.
And the killer bees, too, are a factor, right?
A factor? To some extent, yes. Everybody has a role in the environment. I don't like to say that one animal or insect is bad because everything is being affected by these factors, where if there's off balance in the equilibrium of, let's say, the killer bees that actually kill bees, mm-hmm. not so much kill us humans or anyone else, but there are bees, wasps, that attack honeybees, and that's another huge problem in Europe, Spain, France, for example, in England, where they're coming from Asia. That's a whole other factor there as well. Not so much here, at least. Hopefully
well, I thought
yet.
That there's the whole thing with the Africanized bees.
Correct.
Yeah.
I was listening to all the... Yeah. Oh, yeah. So there's a whole story of it was a hybrid. It was a science experiment in Brazil, and they escaped, and they were creeping their way up to North America.
Right.
Which now
that's
they
what
found
we were talking
in Florida,
to
Texas. Texas
about. Right.
But they have very great attributes. And I was listening to the interview about Puerto Rico. They do have a very special bee that can actually save the planet because they have the special attributes of their hygienic bees. They actually know that they have a blood-sucking varroa mite on them, and they will clean it off of each other. So
super bee.
Super bee.
Super bee.
Wow, they clean
it's
it off
bee.
Of each other. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Carolina, how did you get into bees?
I got into bees because my mom, she inspires me with lots of great ideas. I'm in fashion, by the way. I'm a fashion designer. And
slash beekeeper.
Slash beekeeper. I usually say I'm a beekeeper and a fashion designer second now. But my mom, I was just piggybacking on her retirement plan. I want to buy a plot of land, plantar unas flores, to save the bees as well. They're dying. I'm like, what are you talking about? And I found an apprenticeship program by Brooklyn Grange. They had a fabulous 16-week program, and then that's where I met my best friend Stacy Vasquez, and that's where we got stung with the passion for bees, and we just wanted to keep bees, and that's it. And I was always scared of the bees. I always was like, run away. I didn't even know the difference between a bee or a wasp. And with learning and educating, and also the way that it kind of brought me back to the moment, it became a meditation for me. It became more of like a relaxing hobby for me, ironically enough.
Are there very many Latina beekeepers?
There are a few, especially in New York City. Yeah, there are many. I would say there are many. You just don't hear about them very much. But especially in New York City, there's a lot of beekeepers, like, jumping out. And but it's becoming more diverse, let's put it that way. And that is a fabulous thing.
Entonces, a ver, hablas con tu madre. Te preparas para saber...
Compras Governors Island.
Compras Governors Island. Te preparas para saber...
Pequeño jardín.
¿Qué es esto? ¿Qué es esto de una abeja? ¿Cómo funciona? ¿Qué se hace? ¿Cómo no se hace? Te emocionas con las abejas.
Uh-huh.
¿Y cómo emocionamos a otra gente ahora con las abejas? ¿En qué consiste emocionarse con las... O sea, ¿cómo colabora la gente aquí? O sea, ¿de repente te has convertido en un bee farmer? ¿O es que conviene tener un pequeño panal en casa porque ayudas a la humanidad? ¿O come miel porque es bueno para los pies? ¿Cuál
los
es el
tres.
Mensaje aquí? O sea,
el mensaje de nosotras es que la conexión de las abejas con todo aspecto de nuestra vida, con la salud, con el medio ambiente, hasta la ropa, hasta que hay algunas fibras que necesitamos las abejas y otro polinizadores.
Ajá. Algunas fibras serán duras para que no nos piquen las abejas, digo yo.
También.
Importante. Es importante.
Muy importante. Pero la idea para ser todo inclusivo, que todos tenemos un rol tan importante en este mundo y que cada decisión que tomamos afecta al otro.
Uh-huh.
Y con lo que está pasando con las abejas, para mí es muy interesante que en la colonia de las abejas, cómo trabajan juntos, es como un tan bonito modelo como deberíamos ser todos.
¿Cómo trabajan
como
las abejas?
Como ser humanos.
¿Cómo trabajan las abejas? Porque siempre hemos oído que sí, pero luego hay unos que son soldados, otros que son drones, otros que son... Entonces, ¿cómo trabajan? ¿Realmente trabajan juntos o hay como clases
buena,
de abejas?
Es muy buena ser la reina.
Oh, sí. ¿No?
Bueno, entonces me está preguntando cómo es la colonia.
No, ¿por qué te emociona a ti cómo funcionan las abejas? ¿Qué deberíamos copiar de las abejas?
Todos tenemos un rol the larger colony,
yeah.
For example. It's a very...
Sí, para la comunidad, para la gran comunidad.
Sí. O sea, para ayudar a uno al otro.
Mm-hmm. Sí.
Hay abejas que, con observación, cómo se ayudan, cómo se... saludan, como...
¿Cómo se saludan?
O sea, así con antenitas.
¿Sí?
¿Con las antenitas, como en las películas? como Woody Allen.
y es fascinante. O sea, eso para mí me da como una... Es una meditación para mí. Uh-huh. Me da una calma, de verdad.
Y ya veo cómo... que tienes un tatuaje.
Sí, lo hice en Chile. Un ave rojo. Aprendí esa palabra, ave rojo, bumblebee. Pero ahora tengo que poner un poco más color.
So Governor's Island is a private project. It's a big project. What's happening there?
Governor's Island is it belongs to the city, but it's a conglomerate of national park because there's some historic sites there. The city of New York is involved as well, but it's mainly run by nonprofits. And as a nonprofit,
this is the Island Bee Project,
yeah. And also with the Honeybee Conservancy, a national nonprofit with a much bigger network and they're fabulous. And within the urban farm space, mainly for education, mainly for just educating in all aspects of the environment, it's a really great thing to be part of. So every year we have the conversation, what are our goals and mission this year? How can we all play a part and collaborate? So it's just a bigger hive, I would think.
Ah, she used the hive word.
It's a bigger hive. Which is la colmena de Nueva York.
Uh-huh.
Es una colmena.
Uh-huh.
Locura.
So if I go to Governor's Island to visit, what can I do there with the Island Bee Project?
Oh, we have some fun programs in place. And working with the Honeybee Conservancy, we want to do some workshops so you can learn about natural dyeing, flowers that bees pollinate to dye our clothes. Bringing everything back to the elements, the basics, homeopathic remedies, the uses of honey, bee wax, and propolis, for example. Muy bueno, propolis es muy bueno para la garganta.
Propolis, lo llamamos en español.
Es súper fuerte. Y también miel para probar también. Mm-hmm. Pero la operación que tenemos ahí, o sea, no es para miel solamente, sino... lo dejamos para ellos, la comida que ellos trabajan día y noche para hacer. Y es muy lindo proceso para aprender eso, cómo lo hacen la miel. Y tú sabes que la miel nunca se pudre, o sea, it never goes bad, it never expires, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Y todavía está encontrando en la tumba de Egipto que la miel ellos también tenían.
Hay que calentarlo.
Tiene que calentar un poquito.
Después de un centenar de años, es importante calentarlo un poco antes de darlo al...
Si no te quebra todo el día.
So what's the target? Okay, Governor's Island is a place that you can go and see and learn and practice and whatever. Mm-hmm. But what's the target in the world would be? What's happening here? I mean, what's happening here? What's the emergency here?
The emergency is we need to bring back some habitats. That's number one. I feel like we've been paving so many roads, like caminos y casas, o sea, la expansión de las ciudades está quitando todo lo que queda de la tierra para crecer flores, para mantener este ecosistema. Y estuve leyendo que aquí, o en las ciudades más urbanas, sobreviven las abejas mejor que estar afuera en a farm, for example.
Why?
Because of monocultures, if they only have one type of food, if you can only survive on pizza, it would be nice, but you would probably get sick.
And they find a bigger variety in an urban environment
because
of the parks or because of
Because of, especially in New York City with 700 community gardens, fruits and vegetables, it's very good to have a varied diet. Everything that makes them sick is a mirror to our health as well. It would make us sick as well.
So what's kind of being done? For example, you mentioned pesticides is one of the big threats to mm-hmm. bees. Has anyone tried to make changes to pesticides, like regulate the ones?
There's a bill in Congress
obvious?
Right now.
Oh.
Yeah, and even France, I think they've banned
I think Europe
major,
has, Europe
they
has done
really
a better job
up.
Than the
they
United
have,
States.
And Canada as yeah. well.
But there's a bill right now. I was just reading an opinion opinion article.
Of course you were.
Of course. La central de datos del programa Nick Leiber. Atención, conectamos con la central de datos.
So someone back in February, a master beekeeper named
yes.
Steve McDaniel, mm-hmm. who's also has a degree in chemistry from Harvard, he wrote this opinion article for Newsday, and he said, look, really the only way to combat this crisis is to ban this certain type of pesticide known as
neonicotinoid.
Say it again.
Oh, you're neonicotinoid.
How do you say that in Spanish?
Neonicotinoid.
Ah, okay. No, in English.
Neonicotinoid.
And you know what that is or not? Very ugly, obviously, but...
Very blanket. What I do know about this, it disorients the bees.
Okay.
And they get lost. Mm. And then when they get lost, you don't have a colony.
Yeah.
So another factor of colony collapse is they leave and they get so disoriented and they don't come home. And that's why there's no bees in hives. Para los que llevan las abejas para polinizar comercialmente, Florida, Texas, California, han descubrió que los árboles de almendras.
Oh, yeah.
They have like 400 hives, for example. Uh-huh. Que un día fueron a ver las abejas y no estaban. O sea, desaparecieron totalmente. No era.
Colapso total.
De otra forma, sí. O sea, con estos pesticides que lo meten en la semilla de la planta ahora.
Ah.
No sé si en particularmente las de la almendra, pero es sistémico. Sistémico, o sea, uh-huh. De repente afecta todo. Afecta la comida que estamos comiendo nosotros también.
Bueno, como dijiste, un tercio de lo que comemos
claro.
es debido a las, no a las ovejas, sino a las abejas.
Sí. Oye, y la miel que dura para siempre, que mm-hmm. es un alimento maravilloso, pero yo me pregunto, igual que hay una polémica con la leche de vaca o de cabra o de lo que sea, porque hay una teoría que parece de sentido común, que dice que la leche no es una bebida, es un alimento con una cantidad de elementos energéticos y de proteínas necesarios para que el bebé crezca rápidamente y que no es muy natural que nosotros estemos bebiendo eso porque
claro.
no es una bebida.
Sí.
Pero la miel no es un alimento también como súper concentradísimo para que la abeja salga adelante, ¿o no? O sea, ¿no hay ninguna teoría sobre si es bueno la miel o es mala la miel? ¿La miel es buenísima, punto, pelota?
Sí, pero había artículo también que si la miel también puede llevar una forma de pesticides.
Pesticidas.
Puede. Yo tengo que hacer más research. ¿How do you say research?
Okay, sí, que tienes que hacer más investigación como todos. Pero bueno,
claro, más
pero lo importante es que aquí contamos la historia y luego ya el que quiera especializarse que se
sí.
que,
claro.
que investigue
claro.
el mismo.
Mm-hmm. We'll have a part two on that.
Okay.
Exactly.
I think honey is true honey at its purest form is made up of flowers and it's never mixed with anything else. If it can be controlled to that, like organic honey, for example, if you're far away enough from farms that use pesticides, then you're okay. Pero en la industria de miel, como también el colapso de las abejas, afecta la industria de miel. Y hay en los negocios más grandes para tener más miel, encontraron que, por ejemplo, de China, es una mezcla de agua y azúcar mezclado con la miel. Entonces, tiene que pensar que...
Adulteraron la miel porque no había suficiente producción debido al colapso.
Entonces, muy importante para comprar lo local y que conoces tu...
Personalmente a las abejas.
Es también.
Los apicultores le ponen, the beekeeper, el apicultor le pone nombre a las abejas, igual que el ganadero le pone nombre a las vacas. ¡Marisol! ¡Hey!
Maybe just for the queen.
Yeah, for the queen.
Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The big crisis here is not about honey, it's about pollination.
It's about pollination, but how it also affects these other massive industries, you know, and they try to cover it up, you know, just to make up for the real problem, you know. Instead of finding a solution for the actual problem, they're just kind of band-aiding.
But to the everyday consumer, when you go to the store, you can find most of what you want still. So even though it's a crisis in the industry, it doesn't seem to have reached the consciousness of, you know, you go
well,
to
why wait until it's completely...
No, I'm not saying wait. I'm just saying how do you get the word out?
Oh, in general, like
we
just do everything we can with social media, with education, with conversations, and really try to understand what's important to that person, and how bees and other pollinators are vital to what they love.
Aren't bats also big pollinators? Bats.
Yeah, and also insects in general. Mm-hmm. I mean, not only bees, it's insects in general. With environmental conditions, if we take away the home of many insects, it takes away the food for many birds. It takes away the food, the whole food chain gets affected.
Pero si quitamos la cucaracha no pasa nada, ¿no? También hay que dejar la cucaracha. Joder,
no. Tenemos que vivir con la cucaracha.
Bueno. Oye, ¿tu madre al final tiene abejas?
No. Yo me quedé con todas las abejas allá en la isla. Entonces,
O sea que no le pusiste colonia a tu madre.
Todavía no.
Bueno. ¿Y cómo hace uno para poner una colonia? A ver, yo quiero poner en mi casa abejas, que siempre he querido poner abejas.
Ovejas.
Great.
Ovejas y abejas y conejos. Y
eso lo puede pintar en la caja.
¿Qué hago? ¿Lo trae Amazon de Bee Queen o cómo funciona?
Hay un sitio web que son muy... son especialistas de todo lo que necesita para empezar una colmena. Uh-huh. Específicamente unas dos cajas de cada tamaño y cada... I forgot to say frame. Little honey frames.
Sí, se llama frame en español. No,
frame.
Es curioso cómo se va el idioma de a veces, ¿no? Bueno, sí.
Sí, bueno, todos los términos técnicos.
Y, marcos.
Sí. Marcos, son marcos. Claro, gracias. Y también para contactar con un apicultor que pueda hablar cómo obtener abejas con ellos, o lo puede ordenar, lo venden en cajas de 3 libras.
¿Y tiene muchísimo trabajo eso?
¿Cómo?
Tiene mucho trabajo, mantenimiento. O sea, si tú tienes vacas, ¿vale? O si tienes ovejas, no te puedes ir de vacaciones. Porque
no.
Animal está ahí y todos los días tienes que cuidarlo, todos los días tienes que atenderlo, tienes que ordeñarlo. Y la abeja requiere mucho... Es como... O sea, hay que darle de comer todos los días.
Lo más chistoso cuando empecé, es como, ok, tenemos que tenerlo ahí, tenemos que chequear siempre, pero... Ellos vivían miles y miles de años más antes que los humanos. Ellos saben qué hacer. Todo lo que tenemos que hacer para mantener el ambiente que tienen, que tienen agua, you know, because we destroyed the whole environment anyway. We had to make sure that we've...
Also, you provide water pretty much.
Yeah, they find water themselves, but it's good to always give them a nice supply of
and
water.
And I see people, my neighbors, they have bees.
Yeah,
and
nice.
I see they put, sometimes they put sugar in the water. Is that possible?
Hmm. They, in the actual water?
Yeah, I think that like
For hummingbirds.
I think in the winter or something, when they don't find supply or something like
it's,
that, maybe.
Si no tienen miel, o sea, es harto matemática, y uno tiene que ver cuánto miel deja para ellos para el invierno.
Ah, cuando tú recoges la miel, tienes que dejarles también a ellos.
Tiene que dejarlo.
Robas miel.
Cuando robas miel.
Robas.
Primero, para ver si sobrevive el invierno, para ver esta miel de, no tocaron.
Okay.
Ahí podemos tomar la miel para medir cuánta miel podemos sacar.
Okay.
Pero no antes, porque esa es su comida
okay.
para sobrevivir. Pero para una provocación, dejamos una bandeja de agua con azúcar. White sugar,
yeah.
out of all things.
Yeah.
Because it's the easiest for them to digest. That's
oh,
the
really?
Only reason.
Okay.
The only reason. It's the simplest sugar that they can digest.
No, no se convierten en diabéticos.
No.
No.
Abejas diabéticas. And obese bees.
But they are sugar addicts, I would say that much. Okay. I mean.
But there's obese bees? No.
No. Okay.
Para convertirte en master beekeeper, ¿cómo se hace? Porque he visto.
I'm not there yet.
Pero ¿cómo
oh,
se hace?
Yeah. What do you have to do?
Very difficult. Study everything. It takes a few tries. Even our
you take a test or something?
You take a test, and it's a 3-part process. You take a written test. They observe you how you actually check a hive, and I think the other one's oral, but I'm not so sure. However, our favorite beekeeper, Karin Zinter, who is a bee queen, like she is just. Our guru.
Karin Zinter?
Karin Zinter. She's our beekeeping guru.
On Governor's Island?
No, actually, she runs her own hives, but she was our teacher at the Brooklyn Grange.
Okay.
And she is a master beekeeper, but it took her 3 times. And she knows everything about bees.
So this is a year. This
so
can take years
be,
to become
a
master
while.
Beekeeper.
Yeah, it's a nice goal to have.
It's like a sommelier, but for bees.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it means in the industry you get respect and you...
Maybe.
You get the respect.
¿Cuánto tiempo vive una abeja?
Una abeja en el verano vive 6 semanas porque trabajan como una abeja. O sea, they...
6 semanas y
they
adiós.
They work hard, yes. 6 semanas.
Pero entonces en invierno, ¿quién vive? ¿Otras
invierno,
que han nacido?
En invierno viven hasta 3 meses.
Okay.
Entonces, la vida de una abeja... Para ellos, desde de huevito hasta que nacen, 21 días.
Okay.
Y después de 21 días, los primeros 2 semanas, se quedan adentro de la colmena a limpiar. O sea, they're nurse bees. Cuidan a las otras que recién nacido, los huevos y todo eso. Y lo deja totalmente limpio.
Okay.
Nurse bees. Después, gradúa a los próximos 2 semanas y se quedan a ser guard bees. Entonces, they're watching the front door.
Lo que se llama el portero de discoteca de toda la vida.
Claro, ya. Yeah,
the bouncer.
They check IDs.
Están bebiendo agua azucarada.
They check IDs.
And what do they do if the wrong bee comes
oh,
knocking
they,
on the door?
They pick them up and throw them out.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's so much to watch.
Oh,
like,
I'd
so much
love
to
see
some
that.
Action.
Yeah, sign me up right now.
Yeah, they all have a role in for the 2 weeks that they grow. And then the last 2 weeks, they spend it in the flowers. Foraging all day, day in, day out, until they just wear themselves out.
So pretty much every single bee goes through the same cycle?
Mm-hmm.
Because my understanding was that there were
worker
different
bees.
Working bees.
And then
you have soldier bees or some other bees, or what's the story?
They take up some soldier activity, yeah, if they're guard bees. But drones, for example, they are only born to mate with the queen. They don't clean. They don't even have stingers. So that's the one little bee you can, like, play around with.
And they only mate? That's what they do?
That's all they do. Okay. Yeah, good life. They got a good life.
Lisa was just at not one but 2 different events about climate change
and
journalism. And I'm wondering about bees sort of being canaries in coal mines for climate change. Are you seeing...
Canaries in coal mines?
Well, seeing that as bees die, it's a sign that as lots of bees die out, colony collapses. It's a sign that changing our climate is provoking the deaths of bees, and perhaps that tells us something bigger about what's happening here
Absolutely.
On our planet. Climate change, how often does that come up as something that you all talk about at the Island Bee Project or
all
at
the time.
At the Honey Bee
oh,
Conservancy?
Oh, really? All the time?
I feel like it has to be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
can you explain it? How the bee interacts with the changing climate and global warming?
Yeah. Every year is different, especially if we're like focusing on bees and how the weather affects it. If it's a very mild winter, it's very difficult. And also, if it's still too cold to open the hive, and we left them with as much food as possible, we left them with enough, let's say, treatment for the varroa mite, because if it's mild, they just get out of control and they could just overtake the hive. But more importantly is when it's warmer, they uncluster, because just like the penguins, they stick together and they stay warm during the winter. They uncluster, and then they seek out flowers that are not even out yet. Or flowers are coming out before the bees are ready to forage, so they're missing out on a prime start of their season and year. So there's, even though our hives survive, we can't say that they made it through completely, because now they have to, their population's going to blow up and there's no food.
Yo me acuerdo de una de las cosas que me...
Oh, sorry.
Una cosa que me sorprendió mucho después del...
Are you interrupting Lisa, por favor?
Yeah, I was going to talk about the NASA video,
okay,
Guillermo.
I'm sorry.
Please, don't interrupt me. Okay.
Por favor.
No, there's a NASA video that shows from outer space how you can see the greening of the planet, you know, with the changing season. There's an astronaut who's a beekeeper who's been measuring exactly what you said, that the bees are... coming out too soon, too late.
Right.
It's like the cycle of the plants and the bees is not coinciding like it's supposed to.
That's scary.
Right, because they've evolved together. Mm. Every flower has its own pollinator. There's so many different sizes of bees for specific flowers. Yeah, so when we change that up, it's hard. It's going to be hopefully another hundreds of years of evolution to work around that. But at this moment, as conscious humans, to see these changes, we can all just try our best to.
But we don't have hundreds of years. I mean, if 90% of bees are dying off in dramatic numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, evolution is not going to do the trick.
Well, who knows?
Yo no voy a interrumpir, así que me da igual.
Por favor.
Me da igual lo que decís. Yo no voy a interrumpir.
I hear a little tiny violin.
Yo no quiero. Ya no quiero hacer el programa. Ya no quiero. No, I was saying before that I remember when Maria happened in Puerto Rico.
Yes.
And there was so much stuff about human lives and danger and fear and miscommunication. But I remember a friend from Puerto Rico I was talking to, and suddenly he mentioned something completely different. He was talking about animals. He said, I got out of my house, and there was this, you know, bunch of bees, like completely lost, because, you know, I mean, all the flowers are gone, all the leaves are gone, all the insects are gone, and, you know, I mean, the only thing that is here is a bunch of bees that are, I don't know, they're very confused. So he said, I put because in his house he still have running water. He said, I bought some water, I put it on the asphalt, and they were like crazy, man, around the water. So, you know, that's one of the things. I mean, we don't think about the animals, but I mean, it's like, woo, after a hurricane, what happened there? All the natural food of the birds and everything is gone.
Yeah, absolutely. Just have to wait until nature takes its course there, I feel like. There's always been hurricanes. There's always been natural disasters, and Earth finds its way to heal and recover.
You're optimistic.
I am. You have to be. You just have to be.
You have to be. I'm optimistic myself too. I mean,
you have to be optimistic, but you also have to
conscious
be. Yeah.
Well, that's why you fight, because you're optimistic. You think there's no
she's
reason to
she's
fight.
She's getting stung right now. I mean.
Why do you fight? Why do you keep fighting? Because you're optimistic, because you think it's worth it. Otherwise, you wouldn't do anything. Okay, it's over. Goodbye. I'm gonna have a cigarette and a martini.
That's why you're working two jobs, essentially. Right?
Always. Yeah. It's always something that it pays me in different ways that I value a little more than money. But it's just trying to find the balance, because I'm still in fashion, which is like another podcast. The number two pollutant in industry in the world. So how do I find my balance? Fabric dyeing, blue jeans. You know, hold on to your clothes as long as you can. Find value in everything. Stop buying so much. That's my plug there.
But you're in fashion.
But I'm in fashion.
You're designing new things.
Instead of leaving it, how can I stay and be a catalyst for change somehow? How can I instill my bee philosophies at work? Or... how can I just, you know, whispering in everyone's ear about being more sustainable? I feel like I'm always camping, because I have my own like coffee cup mug. I have my own like utensils, because it's the only way I can at least feel like I'm contributing and inspiring others. And the same thing with bees. Inspiring is exciting.
So is Island Bee Project going into the schools as well?
I think in the future, definitely. We have gone into schools with advocating for the Honeybee Conservancy because they have great relationships with many programs in science and math and art. And it's given us the opportunity to go into a classroom and really, like, kids know so much about what's going on. They're actually, and that gives us so much hope because they were absolutely answering all the questions. They've done their homework about bees, and we just kind of have the conversation, have fun with it. It's about having fun in the end. I think Island Bee Project is more about, for Stacy and I, we just love it so much. We geek out. And we just always mention, like, yeah, we're beekeepers. And people are like, what? Let's talk about bees. I'm like, yes, let's talk about bees. It's just funny. And also the aspect of bringing art and creativity back into going outside, getting outside, basically. So we just love to have fun with it and bring our friends and people to get involved.
Este es un programa de radio bilingüe en el cual invitamos a gente que puede o debe o tiene que manejarse a veces en español, a veces en inglés. Me pregunto cómo ha sido tu encuentro o desencuentro con el español. Tú naciste en...
Queens.
Queens, you're American. Uh-huh. Y tus padres son de...
Chile. Sí.
Y eso de escuchar español en casa, ¿interesaba? ¿Era un rollo? Mamá, háblame en inglés, que no te entiendo. ¿Cómo ha sido tu...?
Yo creo que no... En creciendo en una casa bilingüe, no empecé a hablar bien hasta los 4 años. Estuve solamente escuchando español e inglés y inglés y haciendo huya. I was just making sounds. But mi abuela, con ella hablo español. Y con mi mamá, o sea, es más fácil para comunicarse en inglés. Y eso, uno pierde la lengua, sí. Pero yo vuelvo a Chile cada año o quiero seguir volviendo para mucho más tiempo para aprenderlo otra vez.
¿Tu abuela dónde vive?
En Queens, con nosotros.
Ah, ok.
Sí, sí.
Y la abuelita habla español, básicamente.
Sí,
claro,
sí.
Entonces ahí es que no hay más remedio que hablar español, con lo cual es bueno para practicar ahora, ¿no?
Muy bueno.
¿Pero cuando eras pequeñita era raro o era bueno también? ¿No era qué?
No, me da igual. Lo mismo. Uh-huh, o sea, uh-huh. Fuimos a Chile y pensé que... Yo pienso que hablé más español antes que ahora. Pero ahora como adulta quiero comunicarme en otra forma. O sea, hablar de temas más grandes y técnicos. Y uh-huh. Entonces voy a la escuela. Pero con mi abuelita hablando de la comida y cómo se hace la comida y qué vamos a hacer hoy. Uh-huh. Y la telenovela y qué cosas, sí.
Island Bee Project.
Island Bee Project.
In Governor's Island.
On Governor's Island.
And what days are you there?
Oh, so we are there Saturdays and Sundays from 11 to 5 at the Urban Farm. And also go check out the honeybeeconservancy.org for all other events outside of Governor's Island, because we're all connected.
Esto parece una idiotez, pero hay... Los padres normalmente están preocupados por sus hijos y actualmente los padres están paranoicos por sus hijos.
Ah, o sea, tenemos trajes.
Claro, eso digo, seguro que es, ¡ay, que van a picar a mi hija! ¡Ay, que van
tenemos
a picar a
traje,
mi hijo!
Tenemos traje y, bueno, todo es parte de la vida. Si uno te pica la abeja, uh-huh. Viviste.
Exactamente, viviste la experiencia.
Yeah, like, it's, I'm not putting it out there that everybody has to get stung, but it's one of those things.
Well, right. thank you so much.
Yes, save the bees.
Y nosotros nos...
Peace and bees.
Peace and bees.
Thank you, Carolina.
All right.
Thank you.
You and Stacy are doing...
Adios. Don't interrupt me, por favor.
Wonderful work.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yes.
Decimos adiós con la manita como las abejas.
Mm-hmm. Adiós.
Ah, con las antenitas. Adiós. Adiós. Semana que viene más. Don't interrupt me, por favor.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.